Well, I hope that some of you at least like Dancing with the Stars. Because on this Pentecost Sunday, we are recognizing that the Holy Spirit is inviting us to come out and dance with Him, to follow in His steps. So I'd invite you, if you have your Bibles handy, or if you have a Bible app, I'd invite you to open up to Galatians chapter 5. This was one of the lessons in the other services, and I'll be quoting from a lot of it in the message itself, but I just thought it would be helpful for us here at the Bridge, and for those of you who are online, to be able to read the whole thing in its entirety, and then we'll pick it apart and just see what it means to keep in step, you know, to dance with the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 5, we'll begin at verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes to these Christians in Galatia, that's today the area of Turkey. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh or the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Now that sounds pretty easy. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, let's follow His dance lead. Now, the problem is, this whole idea of loving your neighbor as yourself is just contrary to the way we are by nature. In fact, I just so appreciate this first scene from that Dancing with the Stars clip. This, to me, illustrates the problem that you and I have. She is standing in the middle of the stage. There's all kinds of mirrors to let her know that she is beautiful. And there's all kinds of mirrors to let her know the world is all about me, right? And that's the way our sinful nature is. But Jesus, when He was talking about how to live this life, what our real purpose in life was, you know, He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Life is not all about me, it is all about God and all about our neighbor, the people around us. So the sad fact is, you and I, by nature, are out of step with the Spirit. Now, what happens when you are dancing with somebody and you are out of step with them? My poor wife learned this very early on in our dating career. We were going to a polka party. I had never polka'd in my life. No, let me correct that. I have still never polka'd in my life. You know, she is trying to teach me. but I am completely out of step. And what happened is because we were out of step, she had bruised knees the next morning. That's what the Apostle Paul also says about us, that because we are out of step with the Spirit, we are also out of step with the people around us, and we are going to have some bruised knees. He says, the entire law is fulfilled in this one commandment, love the Lord your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. How often isn't our life characterized by biting and devouring each other? Why are there tempers flaring at work? Because you're not in step with each other, and you bruise each other. Why is it that very often in the closest family relationship, we bite and devour each other? Because we're not in step with each other, and we're not in step with the Holy Spirit. And we bruise each other. We hurt each other. But that's not the worst of it. The Apostle Paul goes on and says there's something worse. So first of all, he describes the way we naturally dance. Can't you see that there's just this natural ability on my part here? He's a, hey, I heard somebody laughing at me. What's this? You know. But this is the way we dance by nature through life. This is the way our sinful nature, our flesh is. It's filled with sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. You might, oh, no. But have you ever viewed or read anything pornographic? Have you said or thought something that is improper of a sexual nature? Have you had an affair? No, you can say, oh, this is a Christian audience. This isn't that. That won't happen here. But just this week again, I found out that a Christian pastor that I have admired for decades, a Christian pastor that God, the Holy Spirit, has used in incredible ways to influence the Christian church in the United States and around the world, that this Christian pastor was following these dance steps, the steps of the sinful nature. And he brought dishonor on himself and on the ministry. So I'd ask you, do these words convict you of how you're dancing through life? Or the next set. Do you have a violent temper at work? Or maybe you put a veneer on it at work, and everybody thinks you're this jovial person at work, but boy, once you come home, everybody at home knows that you are angry and bitter about some of the stuff that's going on at work, and you bring that anger home. How many of us don't have to admit that, yeah, that's the way we dance through life? Or this third set. Or this third set. I think I'm going to be dependent on you. Thank you. All right. Have you ever bullied anyone, whether at school or at work or at home? Are there people around you that just know that it is better to try to avoid you because wherever you go, pain and suffering comes with it because you bruise the people around you? Who of us doesn't have to admit that that's the way we dance through life? Because we all have the same nature, the same sinful flesh. And what's the result? It's not just bruised knees. We're not just hurting each other. It also affects our relationship with God. On the next slide, look at that last phrase. those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You are out of the competition. Now, those of you who like to watch Dancing with the Stars have seen lots of tears, haven't you? When somebody is out of the competition, you know, the tears flow, right? We can laugh about that. But Jesus said, when we're out of the competition, when we don't inherit the kingdom of God, he said there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth when we're cast out into utter darkness. It is frightening to think these are the consequences of us dancing through life, not in step with the Spirit, but in step with the sinful nature within us. And all of us have to admit that's the case. But on this Pentecost Sunday, we're celebrating the fact that we don't walk through this life alone. In this next scene in the dance, somebody steps into the dance. The professional dancer steps into the dance. And if you have ever watched Dancing with the Stars, especially after the first couple of seasons, I recognized the stars. Now, who are these people, right? The real stars of Dancing with the Stars are these professional dancers. The real star that we celebrate today is the Lord our God who has stepped into our lives. He tapped us on the shoulder and said, let me lead. Last week we looked at that name, the Lord our God. And we celebrated the fact that that name, the God whom we are to love, is this Lord of unconditional love. This is the God that the Apostle Paul was celebrating in this letter to the Galatians. In fact, in the very first verses of the letter, when he is greeting the Galatian Christians, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. The present evil age, one of the worst parts of the present evil age is you and I have this sinful nature, this flesh within us that causes us to dance through life in a way that says life is all about me. But Jesus came to give his life to rescue us from this present evil age, to give his life as a ransom, as a rescue, so that you and I don't have to suffer the consequences that we deserve. Brothers and sisters, if that long list of the acts of the sinful nature are obvious in your life, and every one of us has to admit that they are in some way, the good news is the Lord our God has stepped into your life, and he has forgiven you. He has removed your guilt forever. But he has not only stepped into your life to forgive you, he has also stepped into your life to teach you how to keep in step with the Spirit. We celebrate today that the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and he is the one who truly knows how to love our neighbor as ourselves. He is the professional dancer, if you look at the next slide. He knows the steps. He knows the steps because he has been doing this from eternity. In the next slide, we see the picture of the stained glass in our church that celebrates Pentecost Sunday. And in the Nicene Creed, we confess that the Holy Spirit, that he proceeds from the Father and the Son. Next slide. Thank you. Oh, skip that. Go on to the next one. I'll come back to it. He proceeds from the Father and the Son. This is why I control the clicker normally. You know, it's like I don't follow the right order. So And not only that, but then in Athanasian Creed we confess that he is perfectly in union with the Father and the Son. So in some miraculous way that we don't truly understand, he proceeds or he comes forth from the Father and the Son. And in the next slide, we see these phrases from the Athanasian Creed, that he is equal with the Father and the Son, and that in second paragraph, within this Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior, but all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal. You see, from eternity, the Holy Spirit has been dancing this dance of love with the Father and the Son. The professional dancer is the real star in Dancing with the Stars because he's been dancing or she's been dancing her whole life long. The Holy Spirit is the real star in this dance that we're talking about today because he's been doing this from eternity. Where's the... Oh, this is bugging me no problem. I'm sorry, Matt. Next slide, there we go. Boy, it's really hot in here when things don't go right, you know. And not only is he the professional, but he is also your personal trainer. In the text, we see the fruits of the Spirit. Next slide. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He is your personal trainer. Next slide. There you go. Tell you what, Matt, why don't you just put it on my true purpose, and I'm just going to talk, okay? That'll be a whole lot easier for me. The Holy Spirit is your personal trainer. What you and I can't do, you and I cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. We can't produce that love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance. But the Spirit can. And that's what we celebrate on the Holy on Pentecost Sunday. What happened for the apostles? On Pentecost Sunday, the apostles heard what sounded like the rushing of a violent wind. They saw what looked like tongues of fire come down and land on them, and suddenly they started speaking in languages they had never learned. And they had incredible courage. They were changed people. And that's what we're asking. Holy Spirit, come into our hearts. Kindle in us the fire of your love just like you did in the apostles. Work this miracle in us that we are changed and different. And part of the way that he trains us is he gives us examples. You know, I'm kind of dreading Friday because it's graduation. And it's not that I dread graduation. It's just I dread that I'm going to have to sing. Because I love to sing, but we're singing as a choir of the faculty, and it's four parts. And I don't get four part. I just have to hear it over and over again. I can't really read music, so I have to learn it by rote. And that's true about our lives, too. How does the Holy Spirit teach us how to love one another? He gives us examples so that we can do it by rote. Some of those examples are in the Scriptures. He has the record of Ruth loving Naomi. where Naomi, her mother-in-law, says, "Go on back home, Ruth." And Ruth says, "I'm not going to let anything but death separate us from you, me from you. Your God is my God. Where you stay, I'm going to stay." And when you read that, you just go, oh, that's what love is. Or in 1 Samuel chapter 20, you read about the dance that David and Jonathan had. Here they are. Jonathan is the crown prince. He should be the heir apparent to the throne. His dad is King Saul. And yet it becomes obvious that David is going to be the next king. And how does Jonathan react? If he were dancing according to the sinful nature, he would be filled with envy and hatred towards David. But instead, we see that Jonathan loves David. And Jonathan is there to help David find strength in the Lord. That's what it means. That's what it pictures. How love for your neighbor is pictured in the Scriptures. And it's not just, you know, in the Scriptures, it's in your daily lives. In a ministry growth team, I just asked, what are some of the examples that come to your mind of people who loved you as they loved themselves? And stories just started coming. You know, Joel talked about how his principal, when he was a kid, would drive out of his way to make sure that Joel could be involved in extracurricular activities and never felt that Joel was putting him out. And Joel remembers that to this day. It made an impact. Bill from Victory of the Lamb talks about how, you know, when his daughter was really sick, that people just kind of came around their family and watched their younger son and provided meals and gave them financial help, and they were just amazed at the love that they had experienced. Or another member mentioned that when he was ready to go into high school, the family couldn't afford it, and somebody just stepped forward and said, I'll pick up the cost of the high school tuition his first year. And it's not just those kind of things. In the news and notes this week, we see Dan and Cindy Thiel. I'm just amazed at how Dan and Cindy love their neighbor. Because Dan is volunteering his time to serve in Costa Maya, Mexico. And so Dan and Cindy are separated for weeks at a time because they love their neighbor as themselves. And I look at that and I just go, how can I show that same kind of love toward the people around me? That same self-sacrificing love. And you are examples of that. Again, in the news and notes, there's this family, the Padilla Gonzalez family. Back last fall, we gathered a special gift for the people who were struck by Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. And one of the families that we helped was this Padilla Gonzalez family. We didn't just help them physically, but they saw what it meant to love your neighbor as yourself. You were examples to them and to everybody who knows them. This is part of the way the Holy Spirit trains us so that we can keep in step with the Spirit. But as we try to keep in step with the Spirit, I guarantee you, you're going to have bruised knees. The Apostle Paul talks about this conflict that goes on within us. In verse 17, he says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want." There's this conflict going on within us. I'm sorry, I'm just completely thrown off. This is just... If you have this conflict within you, you might think there's something wrong with you. Why do I still have this sinful nature? Why do I see those dance steps so much in my life? But the Apostle Paul is saying, don't be surprised that the Spirit, if it's working in you, if you can say that Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit is working in you. And there is going to be this conflict going on within you. But the great news is, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The great news is, if you are led by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is in you, if He has brought you to faith in Jesus as your Savior, that you score a perfect 10. It's almost as if the judges on Dancing with the Stars said, we're not going to look at the amateur dancer, we're only going to look at the professional. And the professional gets a score of a perfect 10 time after time after time. If you are led by the Spirit, then you have been led into Christ. And in Christ, the law of God can't condemn you anymore. In Christ, you look perfect in God's sight. He doesn't judge you by what you do. He judges you by what Christ has done for you. You have the perfect 10. And if you are somebody who likes to watch Dancing with the Stars, my guess is one of the things that you like about Dancing with the Stars is you get to see these amateur dancers get better and better through the course of the season, the more time they spend with the true stars, with the professional dancers. And that's true of us too. The more time you and I spend with the Spirit, the more our lives are going to be in step with the Spirit. The less we're going to knock knees with the people around us, the less times we're going to be knocking knees with the Spirit Himself, that more and more our lives are going to be in conformity with Him, that we keep in step with the Spirit. Now, you and I cannot manufacture this fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. They're the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the miracles that the Holy Spirit can work in you. He's the one who causes you to keep in step with Him, to dance as He dances through life. But what you and I can do is make a commitment on this Pentecost Sunday. Yesterday, you probably watched, some of you, that marriage in England where a husband and a wife made a commitment to each other. Let's today make just as solemn a vow, just as solemn a commitment to the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot produce this love for our neighbors that God wants in us. We cannot produce that patience and kindness and forbearance and self-control. That's only a work that the Holy Spirit can work. But what you and I can do is say, Lord, we are going to spend more time so that the Spirit works in us. So let's make a commitment to be filled with the Spirit. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 says, be filled with the Spirit. How? By speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. By singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. And by always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's make a commitment on this Pentecost Sunday that we want to be led by the true star, that we want the Holy Spirit to guide our steps through life. And because of that, we are making a commitment today that now more than ever, we are going to spend time with that Spirit so that He can change us. Let the Spirit lead that we might keep in step with the Spirit. And on this Pentecost Sunday, what I'd like to do is I'd like to close with a confession about what the Holy Spirit does for us and in us. So I'd ask you to please stand and let's join together in confessing the words of the third article, the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And this is the traditional prayer on Pentecost. Let's pray it together. Come, Holy Spirit, renew our hearts and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated.